Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our source of peace, and our Redeemer. Amen. Lasting peace. That's what we yearn for, isn't it? Lasting peace. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? This is a familiar question to many of us who have taken trips, especially those long road trips, when from the back of the car there is a voice which asks the question, are we there yet? And this is familiar, isn't it? Particularly with children. And it is often to answer the question, how much longer is it going to take? Or, what do we need to get there? And today, as we commemorate Remembrance Day, in memory of those who have died in armed conflict, and also to recall the end of the First World War, but more importantly, to pray for peace in the world, we must pause and ask ourselves, what would it take to achieve lasting peace? And I would imagine that as we look around us in the world today, many who have been involved in armed conflict, many who have sacrificed in the past, and many who are still working diligently for lasting peace are probably asking the question, is this what I sacrificed for? What will it take to achieve lasting peace? Will we ever get it right and have a peaceful world to live in? This coming Wednesday, people around the world, including in this city, in this province, and indeed in this country, will assemble at cenotaphs. What are your plans? Last year, I was fortunate to be on campus at the University of Toronto, and there I joined hundreds of faculty, staff, and students at the Soldiers' Tower. It's a memorial to the members of the university who gave their lives in the cause of peace. It was a beautiful day. And as we stood on the lawn and looked beyond, there were, I would say, pretty much thousands of people. This year, many of us, I believe, will observe a pause at around 11 o'clock, or perhaps follow the memorial services, which will be broadcast from the nation's capital, from Queen's Park, and from the City Hall. And we will join others in praying for peace. But I dare say that while all of this is happening, the debates and negotiations continue about the appropriate level of military involvement to achieve peace and stability in troubled areas around the world. Today, a survey of the readings which were presented to us would offer us some hope in contrast to what we see, what we hear, and what we experience about conflict in the world. So let us look at the first reading from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 4 and verses 1 to 5. And here the prophet drew attention to justice, peace, and security among nations of the world in obedience to God. Micah foresaw a time of peace when war would be no more, and peace would come under God's authority and direction. And Micah was clear about how we would know that there was lasting peace. For in verse 3 comes the promise of peace. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. My friends, weapons of war would become tools for agriculture, and weapons of destruction would become the means of production. Micah foretold that a new king would bring peace on earth among the Jewish people, and also between them and their neighbors. Micah was a prophet of hope, and he looked beyond doom and punishment to the day when Christ would reign and when peace would cover the earth. So the prophet shared his vision of a time to come when there would be perfect peace, with God as the sole judge in the healing of the nations. What a glorious image painted by the prophet Micah. And as we went along and turned to Psalm 85, appointed for today, this psalm likewise encourages us to walk in the way of righteousness and peace. In Paul's reading, letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verses 13 to 18, there's emphasis on peace through Christ. Paul is addressing the people of Ephesus about unity in Christ, who had broken down the walls of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. And Paul reminded the people of Ephesus that Christ is the Lord and Savior of us all. And his reminder that Christ is the way to peace is a message that is still relevant to us today. And so, my friends, we have a relationship with God through Christ our Savior, who makes each of us a new person. And so, we are assured by verse 14 of Paul's letter that he is our peace, that Christ is our peace. And in his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, the hostility between us. Peace through Christ, who has healed relationships between all people, creating one new humanity, making peace as our Savior and our Mediator. Paul was clear that Christ offers salvation to each and every one of us, reconciling us all as believers to God and unifying us in one body, the church. And just as Christ brought unity and peace among Jews and Gentiles by his death, as Christians we are brought into a new relationship with him and each other in hope of peace and security. The message is clear then from Paul's letter to the Ephesians that the love of Christ brings us peace. And our last reading, the gospel reading for today, is just as clear in establishing the love and the peace of God in our hearts. This reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verses 23 to 33, is an excerpt of instructions and teachings of Jesus to his disciples after the Last Supper, the night before his crucifixion. And this portion of John's Gospel is generally referred to as a farewell discourse. And here Jesus is encouraging his followers to have faith And in verse 33 specifically, he sums up all that he had said in the complete discourse, which runs about three chapters in the book of John. And Jesus said, "In me you may have peace." And this is the assurance that Jesus gave the disciples, that in him there is real peace. Despite all that was happening around them and the persecution that they might face, Jesus assured his disciples of true harmony, because where Christ reigns, there is peace. And so we look around us, and there are wars and hostilities everywhere. Nevertheless, there are those among us who continue to strive for a lasting peace. And these efforts are evident through organizations like the United Nations and its various agencies. But we are also reminded that the achievement of lasting peace among the nations of the world is a very complex matter, isn't it? So, armed conflicts continue. We search for that elusive peace based on our own desires and our own abilities. But the good news is that whether or not there is peace around us, we have the opportunity to have peace within us. And the scripture readings for today give us some insight into God's way of peace, lasting peace. So let us put our trust in God's plan. And despite all around us, seek God's gift of peace. Let us acknowledge Christ and his coming to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all humanity, and his abiding presence in and through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, let us acknowledge our baptismal covenant, where we commit to strive for justice and peace among all nations. And thirdly, let us continue to participate in the life of the church, in worship, in fellowship, and in sharing the love of God and his peace with others. So today, as we commemorate Remembrance Day, let us continue to pray for peace in the world, as we acknowledge that God's grace makes the world whole. God's grace makes the world whole. And despite all the wars, all of the conflicts and disharmony around us, we can be assured that the love of Jesus brings us lasting peace. Yes, the love of Jesus brings us lasting peace. And so, may we all be instruments of God's peace wherever we may be. These thoughts I share with you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.